Hey, Brenna.
Hi, Maureen. Everyone, Maureen's going to be really boring and talk about our house again.
Actually, you know what? I wasn't.
Oh,
can
you
I tell
were?
You what my cat... No. Can I tell you what my cat did the other day?
Yes. Sorry. Just right before we started recording, Maureen was telling me about how she's just, like, deep cleaning her new place. And I was like, that's cool. But, like,
yeah,
owning
I'm,
a home,
I'm deep
you do
cleaning
start...
my place to build a to build the perfect place for my cats.
Yeah. But tell me what they did the other day.
No, so Amira the other day. We've had like a couple like fleeting moments of nice weather these past couple weeks. And so, you know, if the sun's out, it's like, oh, let's go sit outside.
Yeah.
And it hasn't been nice enough that we've taken back out our patio furniture.
Yeah.
So we just kind of sit on the bare chairs.
Yep,
and enjoy
there.
Ourselves. Yeah.
Yeah.
And when we're out there, no matter which, the cats really want to come outside and join us.
Yeah.
So we've usually got one up in the bedroom yelling at us from the bedroom, and then another one at the door, like pawing at the door.
Mm-hmm.
And Amira was downstairs at the time, and all of a sudden I turn around. And she's got a cone on her head. She put herself in a cone.
What kind of cone? Like a pet cone?
Yeah! It was like this soft one that they gave us for Vincent after his
was
neuter.
Was it just like by the door?
It's like we have like a little basket of pet stuff.
Oh,
by,
yeah, yeah.
Kind of by the door, and she must have been in there. I don't know how she got this on her head.
She's
though.
Like, oh no, I'm. Oh, you better take me out. Oh, you better take me outside, guys. I'm not feeling great.
All of a sudden, I turn around. She's just in a cone. It's like nobody put that on you.
She's
like
really trying to.
She's
sell
like
it.
An insurance fraudster. Like, oh,
right,
my neck.
Yeah, we don't know what she's trying to sell, but she's selling it.
And then I pointed, and then the next time I look back, I was just kind of like laughing at her. And then she was like trying to get it off, and she somehow got a foot through it fully, too.
Well,
so she had
her
head and a foot in
then
there.
It probably was a little too big.
Huh?
Like,
oh no,
was
this was for Vincent. Honestly, and it wasn't too big. It was too small for Vincent because he could get around that and reach his.
Oh.
You know, surgical site.
But anyway.
So we had to get him a new one. So, yeah. No, but this one's actually a good size for Amira.
Good.
But she did not like that. And so, of course, I saw that she got another leg stuck in there. So I stopped laughing at her and went in and took it off. And then I think I went back outside to chill. But then I came back in later and realized, I smelled something. And she, like, definitely, I think, pooed herself in fright getting herself
stuck. Well, that's
stuck.
Valid.
And I was like, oh, man. So there was just, like, poo around. And I'm like, great, great, thanks. Thanks, Amira.
Love you so much, my girl.
Love you so much. You got your head stuck in a cone all by yourself and then pooed yourself because you were just so freaked out. So then I got to clean all that up. So thank you, Amira.
She keeps you guessing. But she truly does.
She really does. I mean, they've been, and then, in good cat news, Pal got out the other day, when he wasn't supposed to, and he ran downstairs for his breakfast, and Amira hissed at him, and he walked away.
Good.
He did that twice. He walked away from her. So we are really making progress. I think we will be able to fully integrate them for the new house.
Proud of you guys. And I imagine you've been like continuing their little visit times when you can.
Oh yeah, definitely, definitely. They you know, Pal, we keep Pal on a leash just in case because he is he's like twice her size.
Yeah.
So we do keep him on a leash, but yeah, lately this past week, he has not really. Like, he just lets her hiss at him. And I think, like, she just needs to do that. Like, I think she just needs to do that.
Well, yeah, it's, like, territorial. I mean, Minnow still sometimes hisses at Caleb when they play too rough.
Yeah, and it's just, like, Like, this is definitely, like, angry hissing. Like, stay away from me. Oh, my gosh. But it's, like, I think she needs to get it out of her system.
Yeah.
And, you know, he needs to not try to throw down. And then she'll be like, oh, this is actually okay. And then she can chill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's, like, not that they're actively fighting. I mean, it's good that he is backing up.
They will. They have. Yeah, no, this past week's been so promising. It makes me feel good. Cause yeah, he's backed off and it's like, oh,
okay.
Cool.
All right.
Good for you. Read anything?
No.
Same.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, are you ready to
I am ready for this.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is my weekly reading right here.
Yeah, hey, welcome to Read Aloud. I'll read you, gosh, this probably comes out to, like, a quarter of the book.
Yeah.
Maybe.
We're not actually reading the book out loud. Don't worry.
No, we're not. That's a joke. I barely read the book. I mean, I read the whole thing, but I don't tell the whole thing. Yeah, that's how we do it on this podcast, because I'm Eberhardt.
And I'm Tangletongue.
And this is Warrior Cats.
What is that? Abridged. Last time. J-Paul was like, all right, I'm going to the moon pool. Not his first rodeo. But he did sure make it one. He was the rodeo clown, you might say. Because he showed up, and who is this a sweet little other apprentice?
Willowpaw.
Willowpaw was like, where's your sister? And like, yeah, it wasn't like the nicest tone, but that's because she's in love with your sister. But I guess we can't expect J-Paw to know that. And so he
immediately... Yeah, she's like, where's my schoolgirl crush?
Yeah,
and J-Paw's like, excuse me.
She hates you, this job, and everything. And she was like, okay, well, don't really like you. And then she did kind of push some boundaries and try to, like, help him when he did not need it and could have communicated better. But then she decided to just punch her, start trying to fight her, which was, like, silly. And then he definitely slipped, and she didn't help him, which is funny because she wanted to.
And he respected her for that. He did. Exactly, he was like, you know what? He wanted. Respects, he's like, yeah. All right. Yep.
So these two, like, now have a begrudging respect for each other, but because they don't like each other.
I do not think Willowpaw respects J-Paw yet. He needs to prove himself a little bit more as a formidable medicine cat. Right now, she's just like, I don't know what to do with this kid.
Fair.
She's like, I don't know what to do here.
And then J-Paw decides he's not done yet, absolutely just clowning around. Because then he goes and invades other people's dreams and spies on them. And is like, ooh. So much so that Yellow Fang had to show up and be like, hey, dude, don't do that. And he was like, why not? And she's like, do you want to fight me about it? And he's like, well, no, you're my elder. And she's like, okay. Yellow Fang was so disrespectful. I love her. Oh, she's just like, cool. God, shut up, kid. And then he was trying to pester everyone for their dream details, even after Leaf Pool was like, we don't do that. Oh my god, I've made a mistake. At least your sister listened to me, but this is her destiny. Great, cool, really excited about this. goes back, immediately goes, wakes up Grandpa Firestar, and shows that Firestar apparently did not spend enough time with his grandkids, because J-Pop thinks that for some reason Firestar will use the information that he spied on about Wind Clan to somehow, like, use, I don't know how they would use this to their advantage to, like, make a point. I think, yeah, he said they would use it to take some of their territory, which is, like,
yeah, some of the territory.
But we just, like, got on a... I know he wasn't alive for that, but, like, we just got in better standing of Wind Clan. Like, we recently just got, like... We just went from them being, like, aggressive towards us to them being cool again to not constantly aggressive.
Yeah.
I feel like that, guys, you're misunderstanding the sharing of a border situation. You don't actually want to take more of their territory. Most of the time, you want to just, like, share that line.
Yeah.
And that's it. Like, this is a problem between Shadow Clan. And we don't want to drag Wind Clan into it, I guess.
If Wind Clan had been a tool lately, I could maybe see it. But, like, they haven't been in, at least in this book, yet.
Yeah, yeah. So. But it's, like, it obviously shows that J-Pod does not have a single diplomatic drop of blood in him at this moment, quite yet.
No.
Like, no. He might be good at standing his ground, but when it comes to interpersonal relationships, he doesn't quite...
He needs some growing. We need a little growth here.
Yes, yes, yes. Which is, you know what? It's fine. He's not had an easy time with other people. So,
yeah.
I mean, really, only his siblings have been, like, fair towards him ever.
Yeah.
You know, that's, like, the sibling way. It's like, I'll beat them up, but if you beat them up, I'll beat you up. Like, it's like, that's very much...
Yep.
So... Firestar's like, okay, so we're not going to use the knowledge of a dog attack to take any land. Thank you so much, kid. Guys, what should we do about this? And they were like, all right, well, we'll figure this out. And then the dog attack immediately happened that night.
Yeah.
And so we very quickly came up with a plan and are going and helping Wind Clan. And we're now in Hollypaw's brain. No, Lion
no,
Paws.
No, we're in Lionpaw's brain.
Yeah, we're in Lionpaw's brain
because Lionpaw's in the thick of it.
We did watch, it is funny, you know how I commented on Hollypaw picked up on the weird thing Leafpool did, like, where she was like, yes, I want your brother to be with that, he's the chosen one, like, Hollypaw, I did notice that last time Lionpaw also picked up on the weird thing between Dad and Ashfur, like, just slightly, which is like, wow,
it is
so bad if Lionpaw's picking up on it, like, J-Paw's picked up on it, but, like, in a weird, indirect
like,
way.
Like, has magic feeling powers.
Which is so funny. He, like, has empathy powers where he, like, is like, I hate people.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think he actually does. He just has a lot that has happened to him that I think makes that it is protective.
Yeah,
shield.
He's got a lot of walls up.
But I do think Ashfur did, I don't remember what exactly the plan was, but Dad Deputy... wanted to do a plan, and I didn't think it was a good idea. Ashfur also didn't think it was a good idea. And I think we decided that Ashfur was right.
Oh, yeah, we did. We did. Because Ashfur didn't want to lead them somewhere narrow where they wouldn't be able to get away.
And Ashfur had to make that point, which I guess this probably would ping my radar if my mentor said, I would not lead your child into danger. I'd be like, why would that be an option if I was...
Right.
If I, like, I feel like that was a weird thing to say. Like, it's like...
Well, I think it was that he's saying if he followed that order from Brambleclaw, he would be leading his son into danger.
Right. But just, like, with
and
the
he's
history,
like, I'm not gonna do
it
that.
Gives a different angle if you know their history versus if you
that
don't.
That is true.
Like, if you're looking at in Lionpaw's point of view, it's like, oh, that's a very reasonable argument. Anyone else in that group was like, oh. Which, once again, everyone gossips about this. I don't care how much they don't talk about it. In my headcanon, literally everyone in the clan cannot shut up about this drama. Anyway.
Well, okay, but the only other people they have with them is, okay, I guess Spider Leg might be. Oh, you know what? Spider Leg is one of Ashfur's friends, I believe, so.
But Spider Leg, of course, talks about it when Ashfur isn't around. Are you kidding me? Like, he doesn't talk about
Ashfur.
Well,
I'm just saying, Berrypaw was a kit when this happened, and Birchfall was also a kit. Or
yeah,
was
Ashfur's-
made, I guess. Well, I guess Birchfall was Ashfur's apprentice when this happened. So maybe he does actually know a lot about it.
Oh my god, yeah. Even if the other guys, they probably don't know.
Graystripe and Millie are like, what? Tension?
Oh, yeah, I actually was doing unrelated cat fact research. You know what I realized? I believe in Britain, female cats are sometimes referred to as Mollies. And I wonder if that's where Millie's name came from.
I don't know. I wish they used the term Molly more, because we say tomcats and then she cats. It'd be nice if we had Mollies instead of she cats and she kits. Like, oh, it's a little Tom kit and it's a little Molly kit.
Yeah.
But
it also might have been, like, I imagine that probably actually would have been localized, because, like, I forget about the fact maybe. That there are some British series that do get localized. Like, most famous example I can think of is the Sorcerer's Stone versus the Philosopher's Stone.
Yeah.
Is like, hi, guys, we know what like a philosopher is. Jeez.
I would know that, though, because...
No, I don't think they did localize this. I'm saying maybe they chose a less British-specific term, because if you said, oh, that's a Molly, I'd be like, who?
Yeah, but they also call Rhodes the Thunderpath, so they could have just introduced that, and yeah, we would have rolled with it. Yeah, but
some things are British, and some things are British magical cats.
I wouldn't know the difference when I was 8.
The cats don't call Dirtplace the Loo. Like...
Well, exactly!
It's either we have these cats be magical British cats, or we make them just British. Which I think either option's funny. Let's go.
It would have been funny. All right, so we're in the thick of it. We're in the thick of it.
We're in the thick of it.
Lionpaw is following Ashfur as they pelt towards Crowfeather and Heatherpaw. And Lionpaw thinks the WindClan cats must be exhausted. He pushes himself on fast as he could. He can't take his eyes off Heatherpaw as she raced bravely beside her mentor.
She's so hot.
She followed Crowfeather's movements step for step.
This boy's whipped so bad, and he's met her 2 times.
Right. Ashfur calls to Crowfeather, who stares in surprise.
Oh, Jesus.
Lionpaw tells Heatherpaw that they've come to help. And Heatherpaw jerks her head towards him and stumbles as her paw got caught in a rabbit hole. So, hi, we've come to help, and nobody asked for it.
I don't think... Crowfeather's just like, oh, of course. Like, I feel like Crowfeather's just, like, taking this in stride. Of course.
Right.
He's like, I don't know why I even thought you guys are the main characters. I forgot. I only got to be main character for one book.
I never even got a POV when I was a main character, though, right. So, you know.
Right? Actually, I was a main character for at least 2.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So Heatherpaw crashes to the ground, and Lionpaw watches in horror as the dog swings towards her.
Oh, God.
Without thinking, Lionpaw turns and races for the dog. Crowfeather stops to help his apprentice, and Birchfall and Ashfur follow Lionpaw.
Okay, thank God. Okay. Whew. Whew.
Yeah, he's got adults bagging him up.
Well, 3 against 1, they already talked about confusing the dogs, so I think...
Yeah.
They're probably going to have to attack if we're getting this close to them, but...
So Heatherpaw is able to struggle to her paws, and she starts to run, but the dog is nearly on top of her. Lionpaw launches himself at the dog, screeching in fury, and he grabs onto his pelt, and it cannot reach him. So he's, like, on the dog's back, digging his claws in. The dog can't shake him off.
I have to remember that he's almost an adult cat now, or he's at least a young adult at this point, and not, like, a kitten going, bee!
Yeah, like no, by 6 moons, they're nearly full size. They just kind of got to fill out a little, you know?
Yeah, but yeah. Just, his battle screech, I was like, it's not just a little kitty going,
meow. So Crowfeather rakes his claws over the dog's muzzle and Ashfur nips its leg. The dog is still trying to shake Lionpaw off. He holds on, looking for Heatherpaw, and he's desperate to see that she's safe. His heart plummets when he sees her racing towards the dog. What is she doing? Lionpaw screeches, helping him. She's like, I'm also training to be a warrior, dude.
I love this. I like this.
Heather Paul. I like how she just
throws it back at him, like, I'm helping you too.
Yeah, look it. We're helping each other. Heather Paul rakes the dog's hind legs with her claws. The dog yelps and falls. It rolls on top of Lion Paw, but the wet, mossy earth cushions him. The dog gets up and lunges towards Lion Paw, jaws dripping with foam and blood. Jeez. Lion Paw flips to his paws and darts out of the way.
Where'd the blood come from?
I don't know.
Did it bite its tongue?
Hopefully. Ugh. Ashfur, Crowfeather, and Birchfall slash at the dog from the front, and Lionpaw joins Heatherpaw, who is snapping at the hind legs. Together, they slash and nip until the dog flees.
This dog's being harassed. That's so funny.
Yeah, he's like, I'm just trying to do my job.
Yeah. Yeah.
Lionpaw begins to chase the dog when his mentor calls him back. The other dog is also racing away into the heather. The other cats are all unharmed. Graystripe has fur hanging off in clumps and a bloody ear, but his eyes are shining. He's like, I'm yeah. back,
baby!
Crowfeather tells the ThunderClan cats that WindClan owes them a debt of thanks. Brambleclaw asks if they can accompany them back to camp. He wants to be sure all is well there.
Who is the current deputy for WindClan?
Ashfoot, I believe.
That's confusing.
Yeah, it is a little, but don't worry. I don't think we see her at all.
Oh, it's a lady?
In this exchange.
It's a lady.
Yes, actually, Crowfeather's mom.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
Well, Crowfeather narrows his eyes, but nods and says to follow him.
Bro, you just you waltzed through our camp the other day.
Yeah, right.
You narrow your eyes, you little brat. I haven't missed you. Yes, I have. I love you.
Okay. The rain is beginning to ease as they head towards WindClan camp. Lionpaw falls in beside Heatherpaw as they follow their mentors. Lionpaw whispers to her she's okay. She glances at him with her soft gaze. She's fine.
I literally said, I'm like, is this going to happen? Is this going to happen? Are we going to have more romances as WindClan? And look at what happened. We started it with Leaf Pool and Crowfeather. And that was like even before they shared a border. Actually, no, it was actually after.
Yeah.
I forgot that he went on the journey with his... he went on the journey with your sister and was like, oh, no. And also, the reason I think we probably didn't have a Crowfeather POV, if they even had a hint about the Leaf Pool romance, is they were like, this is going to be so weird to talk about how much he loves this other girl and then do...
Them. Yeah.
I mean, I've said it before, this man loves hard. I'm not going to give him any crap for that. It's
grief
like,
for that, but...
Yeah, I mean, the guy... At least in all of the relationships we've seen him in, he's been loyal to a fault.
Yeah.
So he did. Like, he was straight up like, I'm running away with you, Leaf Pool. Like, you know, there was not an ounce of hesitation in there. And so.
Yeah.
Whoever his partner is that he had his child with, I'm sure they're also like. Smothered.
We'll see.
Do we get a meter?
Yes. Very soon. Well, we kind of already... Anyways. Lionpaw's pelt stings from being scratched by the gorse, and his body aches from the dog falling on him. But he's proud of his scars.
Yep.
Well, no, he's like... This time he won these scars defending another clan. He's like, yeah...
He's just like his grandpa.
Look at me. Yeah. Heatherpaw says Lionpaw was very brave, leaping on the dog like that. But they reach the camp, and the WindClan cats stare warily at the ThunderClan cats. Torn Ear tells One Star that they chased the dogs off, and Crowfeather says Firestar sent a patrol to help. WindClan thanks them, One Star says, dipping his head.
Yay, 1 star.
Yay, for not being a tool, 1 star.
It would have been pretty hard to... No, yeah. It wouldn't have been impossible for 1 star. Just kidding.
Well, Brambleclaw says they heard the dogs from the border, and he hopes 1 star forgives their crossing the boundary. They weren't sure how many dogs threatened them. 1 star says fortunately they knew the dogs were coming, thanks to Barkface. StarClan warned him, and they had a plan ready to draw them away from camp. So, they're like, actually, we were like, we kind of have this under control. But we're still going to be polite about it.
Yeah. They're just, he's just like, he does that with, like, he puts his hair behind his ears. He's like, yeah, actually, even if you guys hadn't shut up, we had it. And to be honest, if Lionpaw hadn't made her trip,
honestly,
things probably would have gone pretty smoothly.
Well, Brambleclaw says their plan was working, but Heatherpaw adds that they couldn't have chased the dogs off without ThunderClan. They were faster than she could have ever imagined. And she glances sideways at Lionpaw. He saved her from one of them.
Girl, be careful.
Crowfeather instantly weaves between the two apprentices. He's like, oh, no, oh, you're my apprentice. I'm not raising you right. Like, oh, man.
Everyone's looking at him like, what are you teaching her? And he's like, not that, I promise.
Not that. Oh, God. Like, that'd be such a bad look for him.
Are you kidding me? That's immediately what I thought of.
Well, he tells Lionpaw that was brave, but WindClan is perfectly capable of taking care of its own cats. Lionpaw feels anger flare inside him. No other cat had been close enough to the dog to reach it before it harmed Heatherpaw. But
it's okay,
Lionpaw
that's just a regular reaction to Crowfeather.
Ashfur silences him with a warning.
Thanks, Ashfur. Ashfur's like, you don't actually, this is, don't.
You've like barely been an apprentice. Chill. It's been like a few weeks, bud.
Yeah, it's not the time. Not the time.
Breezepaw races into camp, and we know who Breezepaw is.
Who is this?
Crowfeather's kid.
Oh, yeah, okay, I do know. The little brat.
Yeah, that little brat. Breezepaw races into camp, informing them there's no damage to the barrier. Crowfeather asks if he checked all the way around. Breezepaw glares at his dad. Of course, that's what Whitetail ordered him to do. Nightcloud steps
forward.
Wow,
that apple did not fall far from the tree, huh?
No. Nightcloud steps forward and said Crowfeather should have more faith in their son. So...
what does Nightcloud look like?
She's a black cat with yellow eyes.
Hot. Kidding. All I can imagine is a femme fatale. He's like, I'm so over these sensitive, beautiful, gentle types.
Okay, and I mean, can I tell you an awful thing that they put in like one of the Warrior Cats guides or something?
No, what?
They were like, something about Crowfeather was mates with Nightcloud. Like, she was like the most prickly cat in the clan, and like this was his punishment. Like, excuse me?
Huh?
That's so rude.
You're telling me he's not the most prickly cat in the clan?
Apparently Nightcloud's, according to this super edition, or not super edition, it was, I can't remember what bonus.
That's a gross way to look at that relationship.
Right? It's like, well, like, he took her as a mate, like, as like penance. It's like, excuse me? Yeah, so it's
I'm sure she would feel great about him thinking that way.
It's not a very healthy relationship.
It isn't.
So
no.
I'm sorry.
Come on, Aaron.
It gets Crowfeather one day has a super edition where he kind of makes up for that, but that's so very far in the future.
Aaron's, come on. I was like so ready to be like, I'm happy for him, and you guys are like, no,
I
decided after He lost his first love and his second love. They chose to not be together. We just decided, why not a toxic marriage? Like, come on.
Right. He's, and it's kind of like,
and you're going to put him in a lavender marriage? Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
A lavender marriage, if you don't know, is a marriage in the 1950s where gay men and gay women would get married together for safety and compatibility. I'm not saying that's what's happening here, but like...
No, but I mean, it's kind of... And I guess I don't know how... I mean, I assume Nightcloud has feelings for him.
That's, yeah, obviously, that's kind of... Obviously, she took like him as a mate. I was going to say, like, this feels crappy for her then.
Yeah, it's crappy for everybody. They had a crappy little kid.
Don't get married to someone if you don't love them.
Whitetail is his mentor, not Crowfeather, Breezepaw adds. Brambleclaw says they should go.
You got Crowfeather and you got Nightcloud. How did you guys choose Breeze?
I don't know, because he's Breeze just seems like a chill name,
and this kid is like the opposite. What did you see?
Maybe he was a chill baby. You know, your name maybe his birth
was really chill. Like, it was super easy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everyone was like telling her, they're like, oh, your first kid's gonna, it's gonna suck, girl. And she's like, all right, I'm ready. And then it was like, oh, okay, there's a child now. You know how sometimes cats, when they give birth, it's just like, they're like, they don't know. I mean, they know.
Well, yeah, I mean, like I've said, one of my neighbor had an Australian shepherd who gave birth and like didn't realize what was happening. Anyway. Although I do think with Breezepaw's litter, there was two.
No, stop making this sadder for her.
So there was three kits, but only Breezepelt survived.
Stop. So it caused her.
So she's very protective. You know, it's one of those. You know, the other two died. She's very protective.
Why don't you like women? Why would a woman be a punishment for a guy who didn't even technically do anything wrong? He fell in love with two people?
Yeah.
And you're saying his penance is to have a loveless marriage with a woman who then loses two of her three children, and the last one is like, ugh. Like, Aaron's.
But she loves him. That's her precious little boy. No, she does love him.
But Yellow Fang loved her child, too.
Yeah.
not saying he was a good kid. Like, and I don't know Breezepaw. I mean, Breezepaw, like I said.
Maybe he'll turn out to be super chill.
I'm very worried because why did they make him say like the meanest thing possible at the gathering?
Yeah, he does do that, don't he?
I mean, it's funny because it's like, haha, you're Crowfeather's kid. Dang, I was really.
And also, he just became an apprentice. Like,
yeah, why are you talking back? I was
this
really
is like
banking.
Your first time here, kid.
I don't know how the timeline would have worked out, but I was really banking on like maybe during their foray, Leaf Pool, oopsie, and that's where Breezepaw came from. But I guess that's
nope. This one came from Nightcloud.
He's like a child that divorced, but the parents don't actually ever get divorced.
Yeah. It's not fun.
God,
it's like that
this
one hop along
song. I hate this.
Sorry. But we can get out of Wind Clan soon.
Crowfeather deserves better than that. So does Nightcloud.
Yeah, everybody deserves better. So does Breezepaw.
I was so hopeful. I'm like thinking back to my
I'm
rant,
sorry I where I was sorry like, I had to crush it. It would have been crushed sooner or later, so I figure we may as well nip it right there.
Bummer.
So Thunderclan better go. Those dogs won't dare come near this part of Wing Clan territory again. Breezepaw mutters that if they do, Wing Clan can manage them by themselves.
See? It's always like as we're leaving, he has to say something. The Aarons don't like him. The Aarons don't want you to like him.
Breezepaw, Nightcloud snaps. Heather Paw may have been hurt without this brave apprentice.
Oh, she blinks gratefully at Lionpaw. That's my queen. Erin's?
Yes.
Erin's, you stay away from my girls. My girls, one of them's already dead. So you better go stay away from Golden Flower. You didn't know. God, all my favorite girls, Erin's do so dirty.
Nightcloud was a little bit problematic last series, and I'm pretty sure she supported the mud fur coup. But you know
who hasn't been radicalized?
Right. She's you know, settled down. She's got her kid. There was a lot happening there.
And Hawkfrost was very handsome. So, you know?
Yeah.
You know?
You know?
You know, she, you kind know? Of, she might have.
Do you think this kid came from anybody but
Feather? I think this child is Crow Feather through and through. I'm just saying, she settled too. That's my headcanon. That's my headcanon. Both these two like someone else much more. And I mean, obviously Hawkfrost never gave her the time of day, because can you imagine that guy thinking about anything? He probably didn't even like women in his life. Like, it wasn't a thing of like he liked dudes better. He just didn't have time for that.
He just liked power.
Power.
And dead daddy's
dead
approval.
Dead father's training. And then dead daddy's dark forest. And then Nightcloud's like, oh my god, he's so strong and handsome and buff. And then he dies, and she's like, well, looking around for another promising man. And her feather's like, oh, I must do my penance. And he doesn't say that out loud, but it's kind of like a cloud hanging over him. And she's like, all right.
Maybe it's more like, well, I know you're single. You just became very publicly single.
And, like, no other girl's gonna hit that, like, with a 10-foot pole. And she's like, well, I know how to pick up.
I've always wanted a child, so.
You know what? Good for her. That's my headcanon now. She actually had a thing for Hawkfrost. Obviously, it didn't work out. And.
No.
Like, it didn't even, like, get anywhere. She, like, was hitting on him, too. And he was like, what? No, we have things to do.
He's like, all I care about is a coup.
She's like, all right.
Can you give me a deputy position? She's like, no, I could give you a child. She's like, no, what?
That's why she's so accepting of Crow Feather, too, because she was ready to risk it all for Hawkfrost.
Yeah. She was like, all right, you and me, we got some stuff in common. We both, well, maybe, you know, it's kind of like, well, we both were in some, I mean, it kind of seemed like with Crow Feather, it was more like, oh, he had this transgression, he ran away.
Yeah.
So if he gets a mate, he shows that he's dedicated to Wind Clan. And
she's
then maybe
like, I definitely didn't want to overthrow the government. Look at my white picket fence and child.
Yeah, exactly. So maybe they were both kind of like, we can say that they were both kind of like, well, we kind of did some bad things, and like, maybe we can make this work.
We gotta fix up our public images a little bit.
I wish it was that, but let's just say for now that it can be that.
No! Let's never read Hawkfrost's things. I can keep my beautiful little headcanon.
Well, Lionpaw glances, so she blinks gratefully at Lionpaw for saving Heatherpaw, but he glances away, and he knows Heatherpaw probably wouldn't have stumbled if he hadn't distracted her, so, yeah.
These two, they're both keeping up their clan traditions.
Yep. Heatherpaw asks if he needs herbs for his wounds. Lionpaw says Leafpool will treat them when they get home. The patrol follows Brambleclaw out of camp, and Lionpaw thinks about what Jaypaw had said to Firestar. And he wonders if their leader had refused to believe his brother's warning.
No, your brother's just
But he would have
bloodthirsty.
To believe Jaypaw next time. He was right. And it's like, no, Firestar got his warning. He just didn't agree that they should go and use this to beat up Wind Clan. Yeah, I mean, if he just would have said, hey, there's going to be dogs coming to get Wind Clan, just like FYI, Firestar would have been like, oh yeah, we'll keep an eye out in case they're in trouble. But no, Jaypaw went in, there's going to be dogs, let's throw down. So yeah, he'd have to believe Jaypaw next time. But The thoughts of Lionpaw's brother fade quickly, to be replaced with the memory of heather-colored eyes and a soft voice asking if he needed herbs.
God.
Yeah.
The boy. He's stupid, but he's a sweetheart.
Well, do you want to hit me with a cat fact before we do a little time skip?
Ooh, of course. Sorry, I forgot what I set myself up for.
Oh, dear.
Why did I do this? Okay. Now it's time for a cat fact, so get ready to learn about these cats and their history. But you know, between you and me, that I don't know about sports and made this song to distract. So let's get to the point and share a cat fact.
Woo! All right, Sparts.
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 Sparts. Yeah, I like wrote that. I was like, well, now I need to do it. Because I spent so long on the song.
That's commitment. And are we going to get the cat facts next episode then, because you spent all your time on the song?
Yeah, we're stuck here, guys. We're stuck here. I might sing the song more than once just because I practiced.
You worked so hard.
So, as I just wonderfully sang the intro to our new segment of Cat Facts, I'm sure you all understand that we're talking about cats and sports. Sporty cats.
Like Air Buds, but cats?
Kind of.
Yeah.
And as warned, I am fairly sport illiterate. It's nothing against them. I just don't have much interest in following them. But
I used to do the sports section in a newspaper, so I'm like,
I like literally realized after I'd like done the research, written the song, that I could have saved this for like the Olympics that are happening in a couple months. But
are they?
One thing I know about sports is that there are different ones happening year round, and my love for cats is also endless. So we are going with it.
Let's do it.
Yeah. While I'm not a sports follower, I have joined in on the worldwide tradition of gathering around a TV or even traveling to a stadium to watch a game.
Oh yeah. I've done that before.
Right. And on November 4th, 2019, hundreds, if not thousands, of folks were doing just that during this Monday night football game at the MetLife Stadium in New Jersey. Both fans and players of the home team, the New York Giants, and the visiting Dallas Cowboys were caught off guard by an unexpected addition to the field. A large black cat was seen darting across the end of the field, pausing the game for 2 minutes as both security and troopers failed in capturing the feline, as it outplayed them and made its escape into an entrance off the field. Now, this was captured on video.
Of course.
Humorously narrated by the renowned sportscaster Kevin Harlan. I'm not going to play the full video as it's definitely copyrighted, but I am going to show you, Maureen. It's only 40 seconds, so...
Okay.
For those interested, the first link in the episode description is under the cat fact sources. So I'm just going to send this to you and you can watch it real quick. I might watch it myself just for hee hee ha ha's.
He runs into the end zone.
Yeah.
That's a touchdown.
Yeah.
All the football people looking like
so confused.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Is it done?
Yeah, it's done. It's done. That was a joy.
Yeah. So please go watch it. And while there are other clips of this incident, I do like that one the most. Is Kevin Harlan does not break character for a moment, narrating the cat's actions as if
he's
it
at
was...
the second. Now he's at the three.
Right. It's like even, yeah.
And he goes into the end zone and that's a touchdown.
Yes.
Just like so good. Just so good.
My favorite part is when he says, quote, there are state troopers all around this cat, which is now climbs into the stands, and the fans are running for their lives, and now it goes back to the field again, unquote. Like, that part killed me. It, like, because, you know, the fans weren't, like, they were both like, oh, the cats. Yeah. So it's so good. But.
And then it cuts to some, like, sports boys, like, sweating.
Just, like, confused.
A little lost.
Right, because they just, like, got called off the field and are like, what is happening? That's not all of them could see the cat, so, like, some of them are like, huh? And, like, the ones who did, I do have a couple comments that they made later, but, or at least the kind of the vibe. In the video, the cat is rather stressed. It's panting as it's running, and no doubt freaking out at all the noise and being pursued.
That's like one of my nightmares, that you out and all of a sudden there's a stadium full of people and you're supposed to play a sport? Excuse me?
Yeah. Like, that is a nightmare scenario. Yet it's also notable that the cat appears to be fairly large. And, like, by that, I mean, it seems well-fed. Like, it doesn't seem like a scrawny stray. And I looked for more coverage on this incident to find out what happened to this cat. And I found...
Somebody must have done a follow-up.
Well, I did find it interesting, and I can't think of a better word for this other than conspiracy. but there's definitely conflicting statements about the existence of cats at the MetLife Stadium. Before I get into that, though, I know you're wondering, as you just literally asked, what happened to the cat? Well, from what I found, the cat was not captured after its on-field foray. That was despite the attempts from security, who did continue their pursuit, and statements promising
they're
like...
We weren't trained for this!
They said, like, as soon as we catch him, we'll take him to a vet, we'll get him checked out, but, like, they never nabbed that cat, so...
Never caught him. Alright.
And
he's
also...
He's still probably there to that day.
Well, and that was also despite the Cowboys team apparently jokingly asked for the cat as they left. They did win the game, after all. The Giants probably felt their loss was due to the black cat literally crossing their path. A previously bad luck sign that's been debunked via Cat Facts episode 76.
Yeah, but how cool would it have been if they were playing, like, against the Panthers? Maybe that would have been a little too much.
A little too on the nose.
That would have been great. Like, it's like, oh, somebody let that cat out.
Well, like, apparently this was the first game after Halloween. And, like, one of the other clips I watched, like, one of the casters was like, there was a ghost on the field last week. Now there's a black cat. What's going on? Like, because, you know, they did, like, a bit, like, around Halloween time. So, yeah. I didn't go look it up. But anyway. Now on to the conspiracy.
Okay.
So I was, like, looking at different news coverage about this. And then this is all thanks to the report from the New York Post. Also linked. Where they were, like, asking workers about the incident. And reporters were told by an unnamed stadium employee nicknamed the Catman. This person asked not to be named. That the cat on the field was not a surprise. After all, according to this employee, there are several cat colonies at the sports complex and about 300 cats that live in the service tunnels under the stadium.
Wow! The warrior cats! Tunnels!
Warrior cats city mode! The worker stated that the MetLife Stadium ownership actually helps feed the cats, and he assists too, and they're well cared for. However, when contacting the stadium's officials, they denied the existence of cat colonies living there and providing any food. But, I kept digging. MetLife Stadium is part of the Meadowlands Sports Complex in New Jersey, which includes other facilities, including a horse racetrack, which have all been around since the 1970s. There are multiple groups that work and fund the complex. And as noted by the New York Post, there is a report that I was unable to find from the local news, the Bergen Record, which attests the barn cats being brought in to the racetrack to help deal with pests.
I mean, that would make sense. I mean, honestly, I'd want that at my stadium, too. People have food all over and...
And if there are no cats in the stadium, which, once again, is part of this complex, why did I find a report from 2015 about a case being dismissed against a former firefighter at the Meadowlands Racetrack, part of the complex, who was cited for feeding stray cats at the racetrack? A daily part of his routine for over a decade.
Oh, you're like a journalist now, Brenna. Welcome to journalism.
Why would that article quote the racetrack's promise to take care of the cats and to cooperate with a local shelter in facilitating a TNR trap and neuter release program?
Well, maybe they haven't been very good at that, and that's why they're lying.
And even if they are effective and controlling cat population, I don't think that would get rid of all the colonies of cats in 4 years.
No, definitely not.
And like...
You cracked it. You cracked the case.
Well, Maureen, take a look at this. Like, look at this map of the complex. And you can see. You can see the racetrack. You can see the complex. Listen, too bad. Yeah, okay. I looked through New Jersey Public Records to try and find the court case. We're in this.
Oh, my God.
Like, the map does show, like, there's a lot of food and no doubt prey. And like, yeah, there's cars around. But I walked this on Google Maps. There is a road between the racetrack and stadium at the complex. But there's also a parking lot. There's plenty of wilderness between. And I don't know about the connecting tunnels, but I'm sure it's not a huge distance for cats to cross.
If there's any tunnels connecting them,
there's cats there.
I mean, even if they're not in the tunnels, even if there's just cats at the racetrack, they're gonna get
or like
other
that
places.
greenery area, which is just like a bunch of other. I went from what I saw. There's just like a bunch of like storage places. So
Warrior Cats New Jersey Turnpike Interstate Interchange Edition.
I hope everyone's ready for this. And instead of British people, they're gonna have New Jersey accents.
New Jersey accents. They live in these bogs over here.
Yeah. So I.
Well, actually, it's the Wildcats versus the Stadium Cats. The bog cats versus the...
It's the racetrack cats versus the stadium cats.
Yeah.
There's also like a closed... There's like three venues here.
Like one of them, seeing those.
Yeah. There's a lot happening at this place. So I think there's so much opportunity for...
So much opportunity for cat turf wars.
Yeah, I do hope that if there are cat colonies here, that they're being cared for and TNR'd and not just, like, gotten rid of, because that'd be mean.
Yeah.
And also, rats are going to take over, so would you rather have cats or rats, guys?
Right? So, it's not a hard question.
Yeah, not a question at all. And I will say that the officials were like, no, there's like one or two stray cats that get in, guys. Don't it's not 300 in our basement. Which I understand, like, that is kind of weird press to have, but like,
yeah.
I would love to be the PR person who has to deny the 300 cats in your basement.
I think we need tickets to a football game to investigate this at the MetLife Stadium.
We have to go break into the service tunnels of the MetLife Stadium.
Yes.
We just need to see if there's any food that people are still leaving.
Yeah.
We're just going to walk the perimeter of the racetrack.
Oh. We're going to go investigate this one day. Mark my words.
I'm gonna
mark
bet on the horses.
Them right here. Episode, what is this? 256.
Of all the places we could visit that are cat related, this is the one we're gonna stake our claim on. I suppose there's a mystery here.
Yeah, because we have to solve the mystery. Welcome to journalism, Brenna. We gotta crack the case.
All right.
We're gonna break it wide open.
If there's any New Jersey locals or anyone who works at the stadium listening, please just confirm this for us.
Please give me keys to the cat tunnel.
We won't tell your bosses, we promise.
Oh, give me keys to the cat tunnel. All right. Thank you for that cat fact. Sparts.
and sparts. I genuinely was just like, I wanted to look into incidents of cats running across fields, cat streakers, and then I stumbled into this and I was like, oh my god, how can I not look deeper?
This is a lot.
It's like only two articles mentioned. I was like, hold on.
Oh my goodness. Well, thank you for that. That was a delight. And now we have new life goals. That's exciting. Mm-hmm. All right. It's been a quarter moon. But a whole week. J-Paws.
Are we just, like, never gonna hang out with Holly Paw anymore?
We will.
We've hung out with her. It's been somewhat equal, actually.
Yeah, it's just, like, it's not, like, regular. Like, there's not, like, a order, but we've been hanging out with them probably nearly equally. It feels like before we were hanging out with Holly Paw and Jay Paw more.
Yeah, but I guess now we're switching more to Jay Paw, and I guess we'll just see.
Lion Paw. Yeah, we'll see. So Jay Paw decides to leave his siblings to finish their meal. Lion Paw teases him that he just wants to get out of the rain. Jay Paw growls, "It's not that." Lion Paw has been going on and on about the battle with the dog for days.
Oh, I thought he was going to talk about the girls. But I suppose he has sense to not talk about his crush on someone who isn't in the clan.
But he probably talks about saving her all the time.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And Jay Paw does not want to hear it again.
Jay Paw's like, "I can feel your crush and it's grossing me out."
Well, he'd already guessed that Lion Paw had taken off his cobweb dressings early so he'd have scars to show off. So he's just like a little offended by that, too. He's just like, oh, I'm trying to heal you.
I do all this work and you want a scar?
Right.
What are you trying to make it seem like I don't know what I'm doing?
J-Paw goes into the medicine den in a huff. The only scars he'd ever get were from falling into rabbit holes.
Bro, please.
Why couldn't J-Paw do something real?
He's about to have, like, the worst scar in the world.
Why couldn't J-Paw do something real to help his clanmates, like Lion Paw? Yeah, he patched up his clanmates after they'd driven the dogs away, but it wasn't the same as fighting for his clan. You'll learn.
You could have fought Yellowfang in your dreams.
You could have. Leafpool makes small talk about the weather. She hopes the rain means they'll have new herbs to gather by the full moon. J-Paw isn't sure, though. He has a feeling that ice will come once more before New Leaf could bring fresh life. He smells the wind from the mountains, and he's like, oh, cold is coming.
Okay. What?
He suggests they go look for the first leaves tomorrow. Leafpool, already half asleep, says perhaps, but they shouldn't gather them too early before they've had time to grow. J-Paw wants to argue, but ever since Firestar had dismissed his warning about the dogs, he burned with resentment. What's the point in warning them if they only ignore his advice?
This is great. Don't ever warn them about anything and watch the clan burn to the ground.
Right? But it's like, Firestar Firestar dismissed your wanting to use the dogs for attacking Wind Clan.
Yeah.
Not that you knew they were coming.
Yep. He just, you know, he has to interpret things in the least generous way possible.
Yep. Because he's like a tween.
He really is. He's got angst. He's made of 90% angst, 10% gas.
Yep. Just like we all were as tweens. Oh, there's a percentage of acne in there too, because
and grease. Just like grease.
Life sucks.
Sweat. Crying.
Grease.
There's like 5% gas, 5% everything else.
Yeah.
Mileage may vary.
J-Paw doesn't dream that night, but wakes to the sharp scent of ice in the air. Frost had come in the night. So he was correct, and it came right away. Leafpool is already awake, looking through their herbs. She says they should have gathered yesterday. Jaypaw asks if they're running low as he went sleepily to her side, but he already smells some are missing. Longtail comes into the den, and Jaypaw's anxiety turns to irritation. No wonder they were low on herbs. Jaypaw had been padding back and forth from the elder's den with herbs for Mousefur. Mousefur said she was fine, but Longtail kept fretting over her like a queen fussing over her kit.
I can't lose her.
Longtail tells them Mousefur is wheezing.
No!
Of course she's wheezing, Jaypaw thinks. She's older than the sky oak and it's freezing. Like, Jaypaw! Jaypaw says they've tried just about every herb. Leafpool suggests they try juniper berries this time. And Jaypaw thinks he'd like to give her a paw full of poppy seeds, then maybe Mousefur would sleep long enough to give him a break. Jaypaw, Mousefur greets him in the elder's den. He's not back again. Her voice sounds hoarse. She tells him that he should be spending time with cats his own age, instead of every waking moment with them. Jaypaw's tail twitches. If only. Longtail says Jaypaw's only here so often because he's worried about her. Because Longtail is worried about her. Mousefur corrects him.
They're just so fun. I love their friendship. I love their camaraderie.
It's great.
I'm sure folks ship them, and I guess I'm cool for the folks to do that. There's kind of an age gap, though, isn't there?
Honestly, if we're looking at the first series, Mousefur was described as a young warrior.
When so the series first started. Not actually that huge of an age gap, so I don't ship them, but I understand folks who would. It's cute.
Yeah, yeah.
I love it. I love it no matter how you see it.
I love friendship, and this is a great one. Well, he shouldn't fuss so much. A cat her age is bound to feel the cold more easily. Longtail points out that her eyes and nose are streaming. Mousefur croaks that it's just the cold air.
Mousefur doesn't even question how he sees that.
Oh my god, you're right. How do either of these guys see that? They're both blind. I totally forgot about that.
I mean, I guess they probably smell the salt or whatever.
I don't know. You know what? That doesn't make sense. I feel like somebody forgot Longtail is blind.
That doesn't make sense because they literally made a point about it earlier in this book.
Yeah, but things change. From paragraph to paragraph, I was having a trouble in the most recent book that came out figuring out what gender a cat was because it just kept flip-flopping.
Oh, God.
And it's like, wait, in this paragraph, it's this, but in literally the next paragraph, it's this. And I'm like, I don't even know anymore. What is Wafflepaw? I guess Wafflepaw could be whatever they want to be.
Wafflepaw?
Get hyped.
Why would you tease me? You know we're not going to cover that till we're in our 60s.
I know. Jaypaw suggests that he ask Brambleclaw to have warriors pad out their den walls, and Mousefur admits that that would be kind. Jaypaw noses the berries towards her. He can tell Mousefur is shivering, but heat floods from her. This seems strange, but he'd also been here to check on her so many times. He thought Longtail must be fussing over nothing again. Jaypaw promises to speak with Brambleclaw and leaves them. Jaypaw scents for Brambleclaw and scans the camp, as he does, because, you know, Jaypaw, he knows what's going on. Then he stops dead. His tiny prick of doubt, which had been smothered by his irritation, broke through. Mousefur had accepted his help too easily.
Oh no, I don't like that.
Which is the really big red flag.
Yeah, that is a red flag. She's not feeling good, dude. Why didn't you read her mind?
Well, because she's probably thinking, I'm fine.
She's thinking it really hard. Over and over again. Yeah, it's looking really bad.
Her breathing had been irregular. He swung his muzzle back towards the den.
Get back in there, buddy.
Well, the pungent juniper berries that he had held in his mouth had masked another scent. The smell of sickness. Mousefur really is sick.
Yeah, she's...
J-Paw...
really old.
Yeah. J-Paw pelts towards the medicine den. He crashes through and comes to a halt. Leafpool bristles in alarm. J-Paw!
Jeez, dude!
Mousefur has green cough.
No!
Is he sure? J-Paw lists off her symptoms. Irregular breathing, streaming eyes and nose, wheezing, fever. Fever, of course. That had explained the heat coming off of her. He's been a medicine cat for like not even a full month yet. So, you know, he's still learning.
Right. Yeah, no, I'm not going to blame him.
No. Well, exactly.
He's doing great.
Yeah. Leafpool says they need catmint, and she rushes out of the den. And J-Paw knows that catmint was one of the missing scents from earlier. So they do not have any right now. He follows Leafpool out and paces anxiously as she calls to Cloudtail. Leafpool tells him that he needs to find catmint at once. And when he asks why, she hesitates, clearly not wanting to spread any panic. So Leafpool lowers her voice and says Mousefur is ill. Cloudtail asks where to find it. J-Paw says he knows what it smells like. He'll be able to find it. He senses Cloudtail's doubt and snaps that medicine cats can run, and he'll be able to spot it faster than Cloudtail. Leafpool agrees. Cloudtail calls Cinderpaw to come. She can help them carry it back.
God, that's confusing.
Cinderpaw gasps. Huh?
That.
Oh. Cinderpaw gasps when she hears they need catmint. That's for green cough, isn't it?
No.
Oh, why do you know that?
God!
Cloudtail says there isn't time to waste as he leads them out of camp.
That's another thing he doesn't know.
J-Paw feels Cloudtail glancing back to see if he was keeping up. But J-Paw's paws are swift with
fear.
How
does he feel that?
As he...
Did you just sense it or just feel his eyeballs move? It's a little confusing, Aaron's.
It is, but I guess, you know, kind of like, but it's like, you feel somebody, like,
staring at
looking
you.
At you.
Yeah.
Yeah, kind of. But also, he has, like, super senses. So. He can probably sense Cloudtail's worry about him. But he's keeping pace with Cinderpaw easily. He matches her step for step. He can't stop thinking about Mousefur. Why hadn't he realized that she was so unwell? Longtail had been trying to tell him for days.
Because you're a brat?
Guilt.
Oh.
Huh?
I said because you're a brat, and he's like, yeah, I'm a brat. Oh. He was coming to that conclusion
Right? This is the same thing as what happened with Brightheart. It's like, oh, maybe you wouldn't be such a brat if, like,
yeah, exactly.
All of a sudden, like...
It's like he kind of does the thing where I think a lot of, I mean, this isn't like exclusive to him. A lot of people just like they realize they're so wrapped up in their own thing that they don't realize other people are going through it too. And they're like, oh,
yep.
I am so sorry, actually. It's developing empathy and maturing as a person.
Yep.
It's hard.
And he's still baby.
Yeah.
So he is learning all this the hard way.
It's hard because as a young adult.
He's a doctor baby.
To realize that your world, you are a small fish in a big pond, buddy. And he really thinks he's a big fish.
Yep. Guilt gnaws at him. And once they had the catmint, he would feed it to Mousefur himself until she fully recovered.
What a little goober.
Yeah.
It's like he's secretly a sweetheart, but he just, like, can't not be a little brat, too.
We're gonna learn more about J-Paw in that way, where it's kind of like, yeah, it's like he's very prickly, but he cares.
I can see it. I can see him, like, never really having a good bedside manner, but, like, I think he'll be a good doctor.
Yeah.
Whether or not he is chosen, I think... I honestly... Hollypaw would have been a good doctor, but
oh yeah, Hollypaw. Well, she had trouble treating patients.
Yeah, I think Hollypaw has the right, like, if she had passion for it. Like, she has passion. She's very dedicated to everything she actually wants to do. I don't think she real, like, I guess I meant Hollypaw has a good temperament for it. Maybe not the skills, yes, but the right temperament.
Yeah.
And I think, while J-Paw maybe lacks a little bit the temperament you want, obviously he has the skills, but I think he also has the innate care for people, whether he wants to admit it or not.
Yeah. But he's also got stuff like, I mean, being a medicine cat is kind of isolating in this culture,
yeah,
you know? And then, you know, the Star Clan's telling him he's so powerful and, you know, it's like, oh, man.
They should stop doing that.
They should.
It's not done anyways, them any favors.
No. Back to the situation at hand. J-Paw feels the sharp little stones of the old Thunder Path and pulls ahead of Cinderpaw. Cloudtail stops at the abandoned nest.
Real quick.
J-Paw. Huh?
Why do they call it the old Thunder Path?
Because it's not used anymore. It's just like a gravel path.
Okay, I was about to question how they would know a gravel road is older than like a tar road, but then I realize it's just because it's a country road that not a lot of people traverse, so it probably smells less like two legs versus...
Yes, it's not used regularly anymore.
Sorry, I was supposed to be like, how do they know how... errands, but then I realized it made sense.
Yeah. Well, like, they know their camp is an old two-leg thing, you know?
Right, it's just, yeah, because they're like...
Two legs carved it out, they ain't there anymore.
Right.
So J-Paw knows it's empty, but it still feels dangerous to go into two-leg territory. On the other side of the stone wall, he finds the trace of Catmint.
Oh, yeah, they mentioned this.
Cinderpaw joins him. Huh?
They mentioned this in one of the other books.
Yeah, yeah, we have this abandoned two-leg nest.
No, and then there was the Catmint here.
Yep.
God, I remember that. That's crazy.
Look at you.
I don't remember a single person's name, but I remember there's Catmint at the abandoned two-leg place.
Well, Cinderpaw joins him and races ahead when J-Paw tells her where it is. She roots around but calls back that there's nothing here but dead leaves. The frost killed them all. J-Paw's belly heaves and the ground drops from his paws.
We're about to develop agriculture. Let him look. I can sense it in my bones.
Yeah.
I don't actually know, but that'd be hilarious.
J-Paw goes to her and sniffs, but all the catmint is sour, scorched by the frost.
Crap.
J-Paw touches it with his tongue. The leaves are pulpy and wet, but a delicious flavor seeps from deeper in the plant. He digs down, fearful of damaging the roots, but desperate to find anything to help Mousefur. Around the base of the plant, just below the soil, he smells fresh leaves. It's not much, but it's better than nothing.
Come on.
He nips the new stalks and holds them gently on his tongue. He tries not to absorb any of the precious flavor. Cinderpaw asks if it will be enough. And all J-Paw can do is shrug. Because it's all they got. Back at camp, J-Paw shows Leafpool all that was left undamaged. And he feels her disappointment. She says it's better than nothing. J-Paw follows her. Could Mousefur be worse? Mousefur's labored breathing echoes around the den. The air smells bitter and is prickled with Longtail's anxiety.
I hate this.
Longtail notices that they don't have much catmint, but Leafpool says it'll have to do. She tells Mousefur to chew and swallow as much as she can.
Mousefur's like, I'm not even sick.
Mousefur groans, and J-Paw slides in beside her and presses his cheek to her flank. She's burning with fever and trembling, and he hears her breath bubble when she coughs. He looks to Leafpool anxiously. Leafpool assures him that Mousefur may be old, but she's strong.
Please, I'm J-Paw gonna cry.
J-Paw feels her pain as she swallows the herbs. She must have noticed him flinch, because she turns to him. What a fuss they're making over her, Mousefur rasps. Anyone would think she was about to join Star Clan.
I literally said, I was literally joking, Mousefur.
Mousefur forces a purr, and J-Paw feels the pain of it shake her body. Mousefur doesn't think Star Clan is ready for her yet. And besides, if she goes, who would make sure Longtail remembers to check his pelt for fleas?
Please, God, I'm gonna throw up. I can't do this.
J-Paw tells her that she'll be better in no time. Daisy appears at the entrance, calling worriedly to Leafpool. Ferncloud is unwell.
Ugh.
Alarm shoots through J-Paw, and Leafpool asks what's wrong. Daisy says she's wheezing, and her eyes and nose are streaming. Which
is not good.
Mousefur lets out an agonized groan. She went to the nursery yesterday to see the kits. Daisy says Ice Kit and Fox Kit seem fine, but Leafpool will go check on Ferncloud. J-Paw offers to stay with Mousefur, but Mousefur insists they check on the kits. She pushes the rest of the catmint away from her.
Just like that.
Yep. Leafpool insists that she take the herbs. She isn't as strong as Ferncloud. Mousefur says stubbornly to check on the kits first.
I can't do this, guys. I actually can't. I can't lose her.
Leafpool agrees and leaves, and J-Paw follows her. I'll promise you that you're not losing Mousefur this episode.
Maureen! That's mean!
I'm saying you're safe for this episode.
I'm mean. You're mean to me, your friend.
Yup. The familiar smell of his old home is tainted with sickness. The nursery. Ferncloud is struggling for breath, and the heat of fever pulses from her body. Leafpool says it's definitely green cough, but the kits aren't infected. J-Paw says they need to get Ferncloud away from the kits. Daisy offers to look after them. They're close enough to weaning now. Grief flashes from Ferncloud as she promises her kits that she'll be back soon. Daisy, trying to cheer them up, says they'll have fun with all this space to themselves. And Ferncloud will be just across the clearing. She's not leaving camp.
Thanks, Daisy. Daisy's such a sweetheart.
She's so good. Ferncloud mews for them to be good. And Ice Kit calls for her not to worry, they'll be fine. But J-Paw senses the brave kit's anxiety. He flicks his tail over her back and says he'll have Hollypaw come teach them the new fighting moves she's been learning. Really? Ice Kit squeaks, brightening. So J-Paw's also cheering them up.
Oh.
See, he is good.
He is.
No, he's learning.
He knows how to cheer up kids. I think that's like...
Oh, yeah. He just doesn't have patience for... I mean, you know, a lot like Yellowfang at the end of her stint in Shadow Clan, you know, she's like, ugh. He doesn't have the time for people wasting his.
Right. But it's like, bro, what are you Leafpool doing calls.
Yeah. Leafpool calls for J-Paw to fetch Mousefur. They'll keep them both in the medicine den where they can keep an eye on them. J-Paw's heart is pounding as he rushes to get Mousefur. He had wanted the chance to protect his clanmates. But a warrior could do it with teeth and claws. All he has to offer was a paw full of pulpy roots.
And that's...
How could this be his destiny?
Important.
It's important. Dawn brings another victim. J-Paw waits to Whitewing, limping into the medicine den, wheezing. He'd learned the deadly scent of green cough and leaps from his nest. But Leafpaw is already beside Whitewing, listening to her chest. She tells J-Paw to make her a nest next to Ferncloud and Mousefur.
Whitewing collapses into the nest that Jaypaw threw together gratefully. They need more catmint, Leafpool hisses, so quietly only Jaypaw could hear. And he senses the terror in his mentor's voice. What did she expect him to do? Grow some?
I was joking about the agriculture, guys.
Louder, Leafpool tells him to check the other warriors and apprentices. Jaypaw nods and leaves the den. He wonders why StarClan hadn't warned them this was going to happen. Instead of lecturing him, couldn't Yellowfang or Spotted Leaf had told him Greencough was coming?
They just don't like
He could have gathered catmint before the first frost.
It doesn't work that way.
But also, you were a little busy eavesdropping on other people's dreams.
They were, like,
dreams,
waiting. They were waiting for you. They were like, man, he's supposed to be here.
This is, like, his first, like, official visit. Like, I know he's been here before, but, like, this is kind of, like, his first official
visit.
They're,
like, waiting there. Where is he? With Leafpool. Leafpool's, can you guys tell me?
Leafpool's like, he's coming, I swear. He was literally right next to me.
I promise. I'm a great mentor.
Oh, my gosh. And Yellowfang's just like, I'll get him. Jaypaw hears Dustpelt's heavy steps pacing outside the nursery. He asks how Ferncloud is, and Jaypaw assures him that she's no worse. Dustpelt wants to visit his mate. But Jaypaw tells him that he should stay away. They don't want the illness to spread. Daisy comes out to tell Dustpelt that his kits are fine, but if he keeps hanging around like this, he'll worry them. And Jaypaw had never heard Daisy sound so stern.
He should be out hunting. She helped raise them, and she's probably really sweet to them.
Oh, yeah. Well, he should be out hunting. That's the best way he can help them. And Jaypaw feels the flash of surprise from Dustpelt. I guess he's probably never heard her so stern before either. But, like, it's been a while since we've had a crisis. So,
yeah.
Here's Daisy in a crisis. She's taking
good
charge.
For it.
Yeah. He tells Jaypaw that he wants to know if Ferncloud gets worse, then heads out into the forest. The Dawn Patrol returns, led by Graystripe.
He's like, all right, I'll tell you. He's like, I have no idea how I'm supposed to tell him.
Well, she asks Jaypaw how the sick cats are doing. Sleeping, Jaypaw says, and asks how the prey's running. He hopes that if the rest of the clan can fill their bellies, they may be able to resist the illness. But Hollypaw reports that there's hardly anything above ground.
That isn't how it works in Leaf Bear.
Jaypaw closes his eyes and silently asks StarClan where they are. He's hardly had a dream without them sticking their whiskers in it. Where are they now?
This is actually very valid.
But all he hears is Leafpool's voice. Check the apprentices, Jaypaw, she reminds him. StarClan is watching them already. But there are some battles they have to fight alone.
It doesn't make sense which ones are which, though.
Not really. Leafpool whispers to Jaypaw that dawn is coming. He should get some rest. Jaypaw shakes his head. Not while there's so many sick cats to look after. Poppypaw had developed a fever in the night. Mm. She's beside Ferncloud now, eyes sticky with pus and her breathing labored.
Ew.
I mean, aw. But, like, still be ew.
Yeah. The heat that flooded from her frightened Jaypaw. He listens, pelt prickling with panic. The medicine den is crowded. The smell of sickness made him tremble with frustration. He's done everything he could to help his clanmates, but no one was any better. Jaypaw tries to get Poppypaw to drink some soaked moss, but her eyes are half closed, and she only groans and pushes him away. Leafpool says if he won't rest, at least get some fresh air. The air is clean and cold, after the stuffy stench of illness in the den. Firestar is with Brambleclaw below the high ledge, organizing patrols. Birchfall and Ashfur pace restlessly around them. Brambleclaw is saying that they need to keep patrols short. Ashfur points out that they need to make sure the ShadowClan border stays well guarded.
Oh my god, these two!
Well, they don't want ShadowClan taking advantage of ThunderClan's weakness. Birchfall suggests a lot of small patrols. Firestar agrees. He doesn't want to wear their warriors out when there's sickness around. Millie says she can do two patrols a day. The vet gave her medicine to stop her from getting sick, she explains.
Oh, whoa!
She was always well.
Whoa!
Yeah!
What?
So she was always well, even when other cats in Two Leg Place got sick.
What's green cough? Or what is white cough? Or what is this then?
I think it's really just supposed to be kind of like a influenza.
Which,
yeah, you know.
Which vaccinated cats can't get, so.
Yeah.
But still, that's cool.
Yeah. Vet, Brambleclaw says. The cutter, Graystripe explains. Because remember, they snip your balls off, so they call him the cutter.
It's crazy that he knows that could have happened.
Right? And we haven't mentioned the cutter since, like, a first book in this whole series. So, yeah, that's fun. Well, it seems the cutter has done him a favor, Firestar says. He's given Firestar a healthy warrior. And Millie glows as Firestar calls her a warrior. Like, that's noted.
Good.
He called her a warrior. Good. And she's like, oh my goodness. And J-Paw hears Graystripe's proud purr. Firestar doesn't want Graystripe going with her, though. He's still weak from his journey, and Firestar can't afford to lose him again. There are plenty of ways to help in camp, Firestar says.
Kiss him on the mouth.
J-Paw. Right. J-Paw feels Graystripe bristle with indignation, but he doesn't challenge his old friend. Hollypaw and Lionpaw exit the apprentice den. J-Paw anxiously tastes their scent, and he relaxes when it's clean and healthy. Lionpaw, yeah, he loves his siblings. Lionpaw says they want to go on the first patrol. Unless the clan needs them in camp, Hollypaw adds. Firestar tells Lionpaw to patrol the border with Ashfur and Millie. Hollypaw can hunt with Birchfall. J-Paw goes to his siblings before they leave. He tells them to stay away from the sick cats, don't share fresh kill with anyone, and drink as far away from camp as they can. J-Paw doesn't know how he'd cope if he had to watch his siblings suffer with the other patients. He wished they had more catmint. The patrols head out, and Firestar warns them not to wear themselves out. A dark sense of dread pulses across the clearing and sweeps J-Paw like an icy wind. J-Paw whips around to stare at Firestar. He's terrified for them.
Ah, cool.
That's where we'll stop for today, because it's been that fun. So Firestar is, so scared.
I mean, he's seen the destructive power of green cough.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not good, guys. Not good. To the folks on Reddit, we definitely didn't finish this book.
Wait. Oh, is this when we were supposed to finish this book?
They said that we would finish Sight on the 24th, and that's when this episode's going to be published.
Oh, no, we're not done. We're only on chapter 23.
Out of how many chapters?
Goodness, that's a great question.
I checked my phone because I was like, oh, I should, because I made the reminder for the day that the episode would publish, which isn't, we usually record them a couple days early.
Oh. There's only 25 chapters.
So we're actually pretty good.
Yeah, we I mean, we might be able to end this. Well, we'll see. We might be able to end this one next week.
But we're supposed
we'll
to
see how it
this
goes.
Week,
we'll see how it goes.
So,
yeah, won't be this week.
Either
but
way,
but close. Dang,
it's pretty close. Oh, well. I think. But so I think their math still close. Stands up. It still stands up because it's like we're only a week-ish off. You know.
Yeah, yeah. I think it, when you take out like average,
a episode a couple weeks ago.
We did. Mm-hmm. You're right because life's a mess.
Well, that's not.
I bought a house. I have a lot of work to do, guys.
No, I mean, we just did 30 minutes less than usual. So I think we'll even it out. We'll make it work. I just wanted to point that out because I had that on my calendar. If you are a strong warrior because you have all your vaccinations, then give us a follow on Instagram or Twitter. We're WCWITcast@gmail.com. Dang. We're WCWITcast on all our social media. But if you want to send us an email, you can contact... I need to start this whole thing over.
Okay.
Poofed. Folks, if you are a strong warrior because if you have all your vaccinations, then you can give us a follow on our social media on both Twitter and Instagram at WCWITcast. You can also send us an email at wcwitcast@gmail.com. If you want to support us financially, you can check out our Ko-Fi and our Ko-fi. It is linked in our episode description. But the best way to support us is to share this episode with a friend and say, hey, do you really want to go like help a cute girl? And then you make her trip and fall and almost die. And it's like, oh, sorry.
Relatable.
Relatable. She still thinks you're cool, though, so it's like, it works out.
Yeah, she still thinks you're kind of cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I'm Everheart.
And I'm Tangle Tongue.
And this has been Warrior Cats.
We're going to the Mets Life Stadium. What is that?
We're going to the Mets Life Stadium. We'll be right back.